Hi everyone, it's David Wheeler at Wycombe Wanderers and you're listening to the Wycombe Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. It feels like I say this each week, but so much has happened since we last spoke. We've had a new manager appointed, head coach I should say. We'll hear from Mike Dodds in the show as well. Also, what else has happened? There's been the transfer deadline, a number of incomings, a couple of outgoings, not to mention of course David Wheeler. And we'll hear from Jack Grimmer as well, who joined at the same time as him. Captain Jack joins us very soon as well. There've been a new announcement of the first academy players that's happened this week, and lots more as well, I think. Plenty more to bring you this hour as well. Thanks to Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll catch up with former forward Tony Hemmings. We'll travel back 30 years to get his memories, and Darcy will bring us the latest from Wycombe Wanderers Women as well. But we'll kick off with our regular chat with Phil this week, and of course, only one place to start, and that, of course, is the arrival of our new head coach.
Yes, and great to hear from him this week and see him, and he's out taking training as we speak, which is excellent. Big moment for the club, big moment for Mike as well, and exciting times.
And we'll hear from him later in the show, but it's a fantastic first interview that you did with him, and I guess fascinating for you to find out as well, and for the fans to find out a bit more about him as well.
Absolutely that, yeah. And the players are finding out about him now too. And, you know, the feedback we've had from fans on his first interview was really, really positive as well. You know, what was lovely as well, people like Luke O'Nine, who obviously know and steeped in Wycombe tradition, and also Sunderland, where Mike has joined us from, hearing what they had to say as well has been very illuminating. And it's nice to be able to look forward to a game on Saturday and the start of a new era.
We must, of course, pay huge credit to what Sam Grace has done in the interim period as well.
Yeah, I think really positive as well for Mike, both, you know, talking about the work done by Gareth and Dobbo and Matt Bloomfield and Sam Grace and Vokesy and the other coaches in the interim as well. I think really respectful about what's been before and what's been left to build on, which is a really strong position. So, yeah, super exciting and a nice FA Cup game to kick us off.
Indeed, and huge credit to the players as well for maintaining, you know, the level and the standards that's been built this season.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes for the characters in the squad. You know, there's a really good mixture of experience and youth and the character involved, and people like Captain Jack and Vokesy and Gareth McCleary, etc. You know, really big, strong characters around, you know, that you need in these situations when there's change and needs to adapt and etc. You need strong leaders about, and Wycombe have got those, which the results have shown that.
And two of those names that you mentioned have recently marked 200 appearances for the club, which, again, a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, it's a huge achievement when you think about, you know, a career span. Obviously, Gareth McClure is a long career because he's looked after himself so well. And there's many years to come yet, no doubt, as he keeps saying. But to get to 200 for one club, wherever you do it, is a big achievement. And then it gives you a moment to reflect back on those 200 and the memories from that. And as I said, I'm sure there's more to come as well, which is even more exciting.
And speaking of reflection, I guess sad news for many fans that David Wheeler's going.
Yes, yeah. You know, one of those players that was on the pitch in 2020 at Wembley when Wycombe Wanderers last got to the Championship. So, yeah. You know, sad, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch, you know, the loss there of David Wheeler, because, like I said earlier on, those big characters around, none more so than David Wheeler. And I urge anyone listening to this who hasn't read Wheels' open letter that he put on the website to announce his departure. I think possibly one of the finest pieces of writing from a footballer I've ever read. You know, the way he described that feeling, that moment back in 2020 on the pitch at Wembley, and you know, and the platform that Wycombe gave him as a player and also as a person. Go and check that out, because I can't do it justice on here, but go and give it a read. It's really powerful stuff.
No, definitely. It's a great recommendation. And also, as you say, he spoke so well as well, and such a great example, not only on the pitch, but also, you know, with the sustainability as well.
Yeah, it leaves the club in a better place on the pitch and off the pitch, which is, you know, that's all you can do, isn't it? When you go places and when your time comes to leave, you look back and think, is this a better place because I've been here? And in David Wheeler's case, it undoubtedly is. you know, in terms of what the club does in the area of sustainability now, which is a cause very close to David's heart, as I'm sure we all know. Yeah, fantastic work. And where we leave the playing position as well, a much better position, and his legacy will live on in both areas.
And from your commentator role, there must be so many kind of David Wheeler moments that you remember as well.
Yeah, you know, if I think of Wheels, it's, you know, invariably that kind of being about hanging the air at the back post, coming in off that right-hand side, was almost his signature move. I think one of my favourite moments is when he scored the winner against MK Dons, came off the bench, having just joined us from MK Dons, and the celebration in front of the Wickham fans was a real sort of announcement moment for me. I think it was early in the season, in September back in 2019. Which in itself feels like a lifetime ago, because so much has happened in the world and in football and at Wycombe Wanderers since that time, and Wheels has been a constant throughout that.
So this is quite a tenuous link, but I hope you'll forgive me. Last week on the show, we had an excerpt from your commentary, speaking of commentary, and your mention of Valentine's cards, which you denied any recollection of. But fantastic. The Valentine's Day is, of course, now next week, and there's the romance of the cup, see this is where I was going with this, which is just around the corner as well.
Yes, and Sonny Bradley has returned his unwanted card, hasn't he, back to the EFL. That appeal has been successful after he got sent off at Cambridge. So, yeah, that's to run with the card issue. That's a good positive moment for us. Obviously, fans upset by the fact that he was sent off and the impact it had on that game. But I should also remind fans that a Barnsley player was sent off on the Tuesday night, which impacted that game. And you may have a different view on how that red card came about. That's the great thing about football. But these things come out in the wash, I think, in my opinion, over a season. But it's fantastic to have Sonny back. So obviously, it was done for violent conduct. That would have been three games, but to have him available for the cup and then also the subsequent league games is hugely important, because he's made such a big impact for us since signing on loan from Derby in January. So, yeah, it's really, really positive for him. And also for Mike Dodds, you know, to have him available and as well. And there's some big decisions to be made by the coaching staff and Mike in the coming weeks.
Of course, with the transfer window and some of the large number of incomings that have happened on, obviously, on deadline day, which must be quite interesting for you as well, but also, you know, throughout the month, and a great, you know, strengthening of the squad.
Yeah, yeah, and it's about that strength in depth, isn't it? And the squad game, that's always been the message this season. And it's something that we've had to get used to. But yeah, it's just been adding strength in depth, and we're at that stage of the season, aren't we, when, you know, we've had Jack Grimmer out and Jasper Pattinson, both right backs, both suffering injuries at the same time, and it just shows that, you know, you need that strength in depth across all positions. You know, I thought Declan Skua was superb at right back against Cambridge, unlucky not to score as well, first senior goal. It was a good move from Wickham just after half time. But look, you know, I think the window is definitely a statement of intent between now and the end of the season. Wickham are in a great position, and I think the window has only going to underline what the club want to do between now and May.
Must have been really interesting for you on deadline day, or is interesting not quite the right word?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, for our point of view, it's like Christmas, isn't it? Deadline day in the media world, and you know the presents kept coming. So it was a really busy month, you know, right the way across. You know, I think the deadline day is a bit of a construction of the media. I think obviously that a lot of these deals are in the works for days and weeks leading up to it. And yeah, I think, you know, the drama of it was excellent, and we played our part in terms of Wycombe Wanderers in the greater football landscape by getting a few over the line on deadline day. But you know, it's lovely to see the fans' reaction as well. They're obviously excited about what brings to the squad, what the options are. And I think, you know, with long-term strategy, you know, we talk about between now and May, but we're also looking into next season as well. You know, these decisions are made long-term. So, you know, business done in the January window will either have an instant impact, it could have an impact, you know, this season and next season and so on. We've seen that with the development players as well. And there's lots going on. You know, we've got our first academy signings been mentioned this week as well. So, yeah, really exciting times.
Lots to look forward to. And obviously the next game on Saturday. And I guess fans will be really excited to be in the fourth round, but we'll really fancy the chance of getting into the fifth round draw as well.
Yeah, it's the fifth time in the club's history that we've got to the fourth round of the FA Cup. And, you know, it's an away game at Preston. You know, it would have been lovely to have them at Adams Park. But look, you know, Preston Championship side, but we'll hold no fear really, because we beat a Championship side in Portsmouth in round three with comparative ease, in my opinion. That was a really good performance. So we can go to Preston as the underdogs, because that's the league system. But we can go there with confidence and a real belief that we can get a result. And, you know, big shout out to Preston as well. I think they've set the ticket prices at a really good level, which means there should be a decent atmosphere at Deepdale. You know, I'm sure there'll be a huge turnout from Wickham fans as well. And it's the start of a new era in terms of a new head coach as well. But yeah, so hopefully it could be a great performance and a result that we can remember for a long time. Let's wait and see.
And as you say, after your experience of speaking to Mike, and it's a really exciting time going forward.
Absolutely. We're in such a great position at this stage of the season. You know, we're not quite at the business end yet. I'm not sure when that officially starts, the business end. But we're in a very business-like position, let's put it that way. So look, there's so much to be excited about on and off the pitch here at Wycombe Wanderers. And yeah, looking forward to it all.
It's been brilliant to meet you. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Cheers, Colin.
Great to chat to you, Phil, as always. And do check out the Wycombe Wanderers website and Wanderers TV as well. You can read that open letter from David Wheeler. And you'll also find there recently added a fantastic interview with him as well. He went to the training ground today at Harlington, said his goodbyes to the players. You'll see on social media as well a fantastic video of him and Mike Dodds as well addressing the group. And it's a really good watch and listen as well. And Phil will be bringing us, of course, live match commentary from 3 o'clock on Saturday, where Wycombe Wanderers are away to Preston North End in the fourth round of the FA Cup, looking to reach the fifth round for only the second time in the club's history. The first time, of course, I'm sure you remember, was 21 years ago. And that was quite exciting too. So hopefully we'll have a fantastic cup run in the FA Cup to look forward to this season as well. Second part of the Wycombe Wanderer show on the way. We'll chat to Captain Jack Grimmer, and we'll catch up with Tony Hemmings as well, former forward who was part of the team around 30 years ago. Much to look forward to as the Wycombe Wanderer show continues here at Wycombe Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
The Chair Boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wycombe Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time. Kone.
Here he comes.
Score!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair Boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wycombe Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Part two of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. In the next hour, we'll catch up with the new head coach, Mike Dodds, who spoke to the media earlier on today. In our chat with Phil a short time ago, though, he praised one of the senior players, Captain Jack Grimmer, who I'm very pleased to say joins us now. Thank you so much indeed for your time. And we were just speaking off there about not how so much has happened this season, but this week alone even.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, it's been this sort of design of the whole season that this this week has been incredible. A lot of new faces around the place, you know, more to come in, and the season itself has just been one roller coaster sort of after another. But the most important thing is that through all of this we've managed to win games, which has been key, and you know, hopefully with all the changes we can maintain the momentum that we've built so far.
So what's been the sort of player's eye view of obviously the announcement of the new head coach, and we had a transfer deadline day, of course, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've heard with the announcement of the new gaffer, we'd heard really good things. You know, from football's a very small world, so you come across people and, you know, everyone knows someone that knows someone, and we'd heard very good things. But I think it's only until you meet the person that themselves that you know, get a real sort of feel for what they're about. And you know, I can definitely speak on behalf of all the boys that we've been immensely impressed by the gaffer coming in and the way he's conducted himself in just, you know, 2-3 days, and the way he's spoken and the things he's spoken about. You know, I'm sure you yourself, after speaking to him, you get a real feel that he's a great person. And again, it's what Wycombe's been built on, is having great people in the room doing extraordinary things. And, you know, I definitely think that he can fit the mould.
It sounds so easy to say, doesn't it? That he'll fit in, but as you say, he really does come across, you know, so well, and I'm sure speaking to you as players as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been sort of, you know, I've heard him say numerous times he doesn't want to reinvent the wheel and change much, but I definitely think he does have plenty to offer. You know, I've heard extremely positive and great things about his coaching, and you know, I haven't quite, you know, because it's only been a few days, we're yet to really see the benefit of that, but I've no doubt that will come. But, you know, as first impressions go, he's made a tremendous impression on everyone in Harlington, because I can assure you it's not easy coming in and dealing with, you know, 30, you know, 45 players and 15 staff, you know, learning everyone's names and faces and meeting everyone. And he's just been, you know, taken to it like a duck to water, because I can imagine it's really not easy for anyone. So, but I think we've, you know, got a lot of positivity in the air. And I think it hopefully comes as a really good time, because we've got the FA Cup on Saturday, and then, which is a nice and a sort of much needed break from league action, the relentless nature of the season. And, you know, after that, hopefully we can kick on and really, you know, sort of attack the final 17 games.
We were previewing that with Phil a little earlier on as well, and he was saying obviously that you go into the game as underdogs, but no fear, obviously, having played a championship team in the previous round.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it pretty much epitomises us this season, that we haven't really feared anyone. Even when Aston Villa came to Adams Park, you know, we ran them really close, and the performance on the night was worthy of us qualifying and getting through the next round. But obviously their Champions League quality shone through in the end, and it just wasn't to be. But definitely, I think, you know, you always see it with teams that are struggling in the Championship and teams that are flying high in League One. You always see the gap isn't as big as it's what's maybe perceived to be in finances. But it's a great chance for us to go up there and really try to lay a glove on them, but also for players to show, you know, the new manager what they're about and what they can bring to the table for the final push.
And obviously we heard earlier the news that David Wheeler, of course, will be leaving, and he was someone who came to the club at the same time as yourself.
I know, mate. I know it's very bittersweet for me, because you know, I'm glad that, you know, Wheels can go on to you know, new pursuits, whether that's, you know, a new club or whatever is next for him. But you know, and I feel like he's been such a great teammate and such a great friend through my time here. It's you know, I'm sad. I am sad to see him leave, because it was always a comfort seeing him at breakfast every morning. And, you know, especially because he is one of those players I regard as the old Wickham. And, you know, he's been there since I walked in the front door. And I think you do sort of get a special bond when you join a club at a similar time as someone. And, you know, to go on the journey that we've gone on together is incredible. And, you know, he's alluded to it in his interviews. I'll miss the chats that we have around the breakfast table and the lunch table. And, you know, you can't really put a price on that, those connections that you make in football, because they don't come around often. So he will be a huge miss to us, both on and off the pitch, even though he hasn't probably played as much as he would have liked this season. But he's, you know, he's going to be an unbelievable addition to any change room that he walks into, that's for sure.
It really highlights, doesn't it, that the players aren't just players, but great people as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, with all the change at Wickham, I'm very, very cautious of us, you know, losing that. I think it's something that during my time here, I've made amazing connections with people. And as I said, in football, that doesn't happen that often. You know, you cross paths with a lot of people, but, you know, that's life. You don't always make the deepest of connections with people. But at Wickham, it seems to have been just a great bunch of people coming in and out the door all the time. And, you know, as football goes, people move on, but we've always managed to, I think, replace them with good people coming in. And, you know, hopefully we can maintain that good record.
And obviously huge credit to yourself and the other senior players and Sam Grace and the coaching team as well to have maintained this stability in what could have been such an unsettling time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the gaffer, you know, applauded their efforts for the interim period because it is, like you said, it's a very difficult thing to take over a team that, you know, you just need to keep ticking over in the right direction. But again, you know, Gracie and Volksy and Matty Dye and Harry as well did so well, you know, to steady that ship, but also give us direction. And, you know, I think the gaffer's coming in and will inevitably add to that. And it's up to us players now to maintain the you know, that we've given ourselves such a good opportunity. It's up to us to maintain the position that we've created and the opportunity that we've given ourselves. And, you know, really everyone get on the same page extremely quick. And because there isn't, you know, 17 games isn't an incredibly long period of time to get to know each other in gel while you have to win games. So it's we've got a big job to do, I'll be honest. But, you know, with the people around us, I feel quietly confident that we can achieve.
I really appreciate your time. It's always fantastic to speak to you, and wish you, the team, all the best on Saturday and getting us to the fifth round of the FA Cup for only the second time in the club's history.
Yeah, absolutely. No, top man. It's a pleasure as always, mate. Anytime.
Brilliant to chat to you. Jack Grimmer, the captain, speaking to us here at Wickham Sound.
Cross High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderer Show, we'll hear from the new head coach, Mike Dodds. We'll catch up with Darcy with all the latest from Wickham Wanderers women as well. But first, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, been catching up with someone who scored a number of goals for the club around 30 years ago. And Tony Hemmings has been chatting to us about his time in the Sky and Navy quarters, kicking off with his earliest memory at the club.
The earliest memory was travelling down with David Titterton. I don't know if you guys can remember him.
Yes.
But travelling along the M40, a lot of roadworks, took us ages to get down there. But to be fair, it was a good time for the club. It was up and coming. They just won the league, got into the, obviously, Football League. And it was nice to meet some of the boys, Keith Scott, Glyn Creaser, Mr. Kerr, and great set of lads, absolute great set of lads.
Because I guess ultimately you were kind of brought in to sort of in replace for Keith, because he kind of went off to Swindon, didn't he?
Yeah. To be fair, I weren't a centre forward. I was more of a wide man. But when you've got the likes of Stevie Guppy and David Carroll playing well, 8 out of 10 every single week, it was difficult to get into the position that I wanted to get into. So I ended up as centre forward.
And were there particular kind of favourite goals that really stood out? I think there were a couple against Crewe, weren't there, that was quite memorable?
Yes, it was. It was a good debut. I think I surprised myself as well. 2 goals, but you know that performance was full of adrenaline and excitement.
And fantastic as well that you really sort of established yourself in the team. And as you say, in a position that you perhaps didn't favour.
No, I didn't favour. You know, I weren't the best back to play. You know, I always played on the wing, and, you know, I was always facing play all the time, which was really good for me. But it was a different role, the centre forward. But I'm hoping I worked hard enough to support the team to win games.
And what was it like at that time? Because you must have felt, you know, that you were established in the team and were really playing a vital role in that season.
Yes, yeah. It was. To be fair, there was a lot of pressure on me because of the new position. I weren't very good back to play. I always really wanted the ball in front of me, and you know. The responsibility of bringing players into, you know, into the game was relatively difficult for us. However, you know, because of my pace, I was able to stretch teams, and which helped the team move forward.
And it must have suited your game in a way, in that there were so many attacking players, you know, in and around the team at that time.
Yeah. The team was, you know, was full of talent. You know, I've already mentioned, you know, your Steve Guppies and your David Carrolls. You know, Keith Ryan was an absolute monster in the middle of the park. You know, the way he just strolled across the pitch was absolutely fantastic. You know, and the team slowly changed, and you had the likes of characters like young Terry Evans coming into the fold, and, you know, he was a great leader. He supported the lads, he helped the lads on the pitch, and he was great off the pitch as well.
Did it feel like a sort of embryonic time to be at the club, because they've not long been in the Football League, of course?
No. And it was, I mean, for me, you know, because it was my first league club that actually signed as a pro. It was just great going around the grounds and seeing all, you know, the place like Bury, Chesterfield, you know, place like Carlisle, etc. You know, it was absolutely fantastic for me. So, you know, all of it was a good experience for me.
And what was the manager like to play for?
The only way I can describe Martin is if you're in the team, it was great. If you weren't in the team, it wasn't great. You know, Martin was absolutely fantastic. You know, he had Steve Walford as well. You know, Robbo came in, you know, his sidekick. And, you know, it was always a great atmosphere. I mean, the memories I had of Martin was he only turned up to training probably 5-10 minutes before the end of training. And that's when the training sessions got really spicy, when he turned up. And that's a kind of aura that Martin had around the club and with the players.
And did it feel like a really special season, especially when you got towards the playoffs?
Oh, most definitely. You know, Wycombe Wanderers was on an upwards trajectory. And, you know, every game, every week, every training session was, you know, you could see the boys and the club itself improving all the time. And it was no surprise at the end of the season when we got into the playoffs. And to be fair, there was only one winner. I always knew as soon as we got in the playoffs that we'd win it. It's all about focusing on the game and doing your job. And that's all Martin wanted, players on the pitch doing their jobs. And, you know, he prepared us in the right way. We had good leaders in the changing rooms. And, you know, it was no surprise when we won it.
And fantastic to have that confidence and to go into games with that belief as well.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Martin gave us that throughout the year. You know, it was difficult for some of us, but, you know, it made sure that, you know, we took nothing for granted.
I guess obviously disappointing that you're an unused sub on the day against Preston.
Yeah, most definitely. Martin did apologise to me. It was going to put me on. And it's a shame, you know, it's a bit of disappointment, but I don't want to remember the day for that. I just want to remember the day for, you know, for the results and how the boys played. And I'm pleased that I played a part, even though I weren't on the pitch.
It must have been a fantastic experience, though, just even being at Wembley and you know, to be at that stage.
Yeah, it's always good to get to Wembley. I mean, I've been to Wembley 3 times with three different clubs. You know, I went Burton Albion against Kidderminster at the time. I was injured, unfortunately. Obviously, I went with Wycombe Wanderers, and I also went with Macclesfield as well. You know, every time it was special being at Wembley, and it's even more special when you win.
It's fantastic to think of in that Preston team. There was, you know, Gareth, who went on to obviously manage Wycombe, and David Moyes in that team as well. And you must have played with many people who've gone on to other things as well.
Yeah, you know, it was, I mean, when I first came across David Moyes, he was at Deepdale on the plastic pitch. And I don't know if you can remember when Hakan Nuretten scored that absolute wonder goal. I think it's the first time he struck a ball really well. I mean, I think he hit 40 yards.
No, absolutely.
You know, so it was absolutely, you know, it was no surprise that we won the Wembley game. No surprise at all. Good outfit, good manager, good set of players, and, you know, the whole squad, you know, from 1 to 20, whatever numbers we had at that time, you know, they were all good people.
And are there any other games that really stand out for you?
Yes, I enjoyed playing against Coventry City. I think it was in the League Cup. I think we pushed them all the way. You know, it was filled with internationals, you know, the likes of Phil Babb, you know, and it was great to rub your shoulders against them. Another highlight for me is I was injured, but obviously I played and I scored a couple of goals against Chester, you know, which was nice, you know, when you sort of carrying an injury and you're able to, you know, help the team win a football match. It's just absolutely fantastic.
And you mentioned Burton, obviously you played for them. I believe you're still based there now. And were you still based there when you played at Wickham as well?
Yes, Burton-on-Trent. I've been here all my life. I've just travelled to the clubs that I've signed for.
And was there anyone in during your time at Wickham that you're especially sort of close with?
I used to travel down all the time with David Titterton. So, and I still speak to him now, you know, at least once, twice a week. You know, he's been a good friend all the way through.
That's so nice, isn't it, that we speak to, you know, so many ex-players who forge relationships and are still, you know, in touch with their teammates so many years later.
Most definitely. And you come across them, you know, you've got the likes of Brownie, who's at Arsenal, one of the recruitment guys there. You've got Steve McGavin at Aston Villa. And it's just brilliant just to, you know, when you go to these different clubs, you know, you're able to sort of like catch up with them again.
And does it feel a real kind of sense of pride in that you've played a part in, you know, sort of where the club is today almost in that, you know, that progression?
Oh, most definitely. I've got real fond memories of Wickham Wanderers, real fond memories. And I remember when I came down, I think it was when I first returned to the club, I came to watch a game. I think it was Notts County at home. I think at the time I was playing for Ilkeston and our game got called off. So we drove over and watched the Wickham game. And the supporters made me feel so welcome. It was just untrue. The announcer announced that I was in the stadium and the supporters sang my name for about, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I nearly, honestly, I nearly cried.
Yeah, of course. Because you wouldn't think people would remember, would you? And especially after all that time. And
No. I nearly cried. It was, and I had to put me hood over my head because I didn't know if I was just going to go, and all the rest and the rest of the players there, oh, he's sobbing up. And you know, it took me at least 20 minutes to compose myself so I could, you know, start talking to boys and have a laugh and joke with them again. You know, great memories whilst I was there.
Because you're there a couple of seasons, and I guess in a way it would have been nice if you could have stayed longer.
Yes, most definitely. It'd be nice if I could stay longer, but it didn't work out in the end. And you move on and you know, you create different paths for yourself.
And really nice for you that you went on to be successful at other clubs as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, my journeyman football career, you know, scoring, you know, a good goal at Wembley for Macclesfield to win the FA Trophy. Playing for Ilkeston, Tamworth, and you know, clubs like that. I ended up at Carlisle after leaving Wickham, Carlisle, and Chester City. So they're all enjoyable times, and you know, you meet some great people along the way. I enjoyed my time at Wickham. It was my first experience of league football, and you know, that would never ever leave me.
And tell us what we find you doing these days.
I run a business that is a community interest business, and it's in between sort of like charity work. And we support families and young people living with differences, disabilities, mental health issues.
And you've got two sons as well who are very much involved in football.
Oh, yeah, yes. Kane, he's at Crewe. And I've got a younger son who's at Aston Villa at the minute.
And do they ask their dad for advice?
No, they don't listen to my advice. So I just keep out of it. I do. It's their journey. You know, if they need me, I'm there for them. If they don't need me, then, you know, I'll be supporting them from a distance.
Because I guess the game's changed so much as well, even since from when you played.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's all about, you know, football now is possession-based. And, you know, it's all about keeping the ball and moving the opposition around. And, you know, it's totally changed from when I was playing the game, certainly.
Does it feel like a long time ago, though, to you? Or does it feel like, you know, comparatively recently?
It does feel like a long time. you know, I spent a number of years really missing not playing and being in the changing rooms. And then, you know, I started coaching, and I was in Port Vale Academy for a number of seasons. And that sort of like gave me a sense of being back in the game. But, you know, since my young son, George, has been sort of playing in the academies, I've just started, you know, I've moved away from the coaching and just followed him around the country, supporting him.
I understand you've got a new knee as well. I hope recovery from that's going well.
Yes, I've had a partial knee replacement just before Christmas. And I'm hoping that it heals well. At the minute, the surgeon isn't happy with it, and I might have to go in again and get it all sorted.
Oh, all the best for that. And it's been brilliant to catch up with you. I think you just answered it, but overall, how do you look back at your time at Wickham?
I've got absolutely fond memories. It was a whirlwind time. I've met so many good people down there. And, you know, it's a shame that I didn't really know about, or people couldn't get in contact with us for the reunions. But I'm hoping the next one that I get invited and I'm able to, you know, rekindle some of the memories that I've got with some of the boys.
No, that would be excellent. Because, again, the thing about football, and I guess other things like it as well, is that, you know, you reconnect with people and it's like you're back in that dressing room again.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it's yesterday. You know, when I pick the phone up to a lot of my football friends, you know, and we probably haven't spoken for, you know, 6 months or a year. And it's, you know, it's almost that, you know, you speak to them every single day.
Well, some brilliant to catch up with you and share your memories. Thank you so much, Steve, for your time.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Brilliant to catch up with Tony Hemmings from him play many times at Adams Park in the mid-90s. Would you call him mid-90s? I think so. I'm sure he'll be at the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association annual dinner in November, and possibly some other activities that they've organised too. More from the ex-players next week on the show. We'll hear from Mike Dodds as well, the new head coach. But let's briefly turn our attention to the women, and Darcy from Wickham Wanderers Women can tell us more about, how the team has been doing since the winter break.
Yeah, they had a bit of a shaky return from the winter break with that away loss to Ascot, but Ascot are obviously going to be a very hard team to go away against, especially after a long break. So for the scoreline to be what it was and walk away with a goal, it wasn't as detrimental to the season as it may have been at a different point. And they've just carried on picking up with form, carrying on winning and through to the next round of the League Cup as well after last weekend's win against Penn and Tyler's.
A really great result against Woodley as well, who again, another team in and around them in the table.
Yes, that was a great result against Woodley. The 3-1 win was amazing, and a few good goals as well. And it was, again, it's just a good confidence boost to be returning from this break and carrying on winning and staying at the top end of the table, staying in second. And Woodley are such close competitors as well. It's a hard game and ground to go to. The pitch is so bobbly, you can't keep the ball flat on the pitch. And so the girls worked really hard and did amazing to get that strong win.
And we spoke to Ashley Hart last week as well, who was saying, talking about the pitch, that that Penn and Tyler's green playing surface wasn't fantastic. And obviously that game was called off because of the weather originally.
Yeah, it was actually third time's the charm for that Penn and Tyler's game, because it was originally supposed to take place back in November, and then it was called off for poor weather conditions then. And then obviously not last weekend, but the weekend before, it started to take place, and then at half-time they abandoned it because the pitch was so bad. And luckily, Penn and Tyler's men did not have a game throughout the week, so the pitch was able to recover slightly for Sunday's game. And it wasn't the best pitch, the best surface, but the girls made it look easy and were able to get that strong win again.
And fantastic to see them, you know, free scoring so well. And Kayla, I believe, is the top scorer in the division, and Jess obviously chipping in with goals as well.
Yeah, Kayla, since she's come in, has just stormed through the league with the amount of goals. She's top goal scorer of the league, like you said, and she scores great goals as well. And her and Jess have such a good partnership as well. They work together and really work well with each other to make a strong attacking threat up front. And they're definitely playing a huge role in the season so far, along with everyone else. But the attack has definitely stepped up a level from last season.
An interesting story behind the player of the match from Sunday as well, with a different goalkeeper.
Yes, Molly Scott stepped in last minute for Amber Taylor, who withdrew from the squad during warm-ups out of injury. And Molly Scott just absolutely, it must be such a nerve-wracking thing to be stepping into the first team squad, making your debut in a cup competition and against a team like Penn. So she did really well to handle the pressure of being thrown in at the deep end, really.
No, absolutely. And it just really consolidates their kind of position, as you say, in being a free scoring team. And it's so good to sort of take that into the remainder of the league campaign as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I've noticed this season more than last season, potentially. There's so much more movement throughout the different levels, like the squads, the under-18s and devs, that you're seeing more players progress through the teams and getting these chances to make a name for themselves and show themselves off in front of on the first team stage. And I think it's a real testament to how the season's going, what the coaching's like, what the team mentality's like, that everyone is just part of the team, part of the family, and it's one for all, really. And I think it's been a huge, huge boost this season, and hopefully they can continue the rest of the season to keep up with Ascot at the top and try and close that gap a little bit points-wise.
And as you say, no game this weekend because they're due to play Porchester, who are involved in a cup game themselves.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an away game to Porchester, which would have been a great game, because they've got a game in hand to us and only 1 point below us. So it would have been a high-stakes game and a must-win, really, for the rest of the season points-wise. But yeah, Porchester have a cup game, so that's been postponed for now.
So what's next for the Chair Girls?
So on the 16th of February, they're travelling away to Bagshotley, who are bottom of the table without a win as of right now. So that will be an interesting game. You obviously can't write Bagshot off and can't say it will be an easy win, but I know the girls will go and give it their all and hopefully walk away with the 3 points.
And as we mentioned so many times on the show, that the players are such fantastic inspiration for young girls who are coming through as well.
Yeah, there's such a huge family feeling about it. Like for Molly Scott, for example, welcomed into the team and supported by the older girls who have so much more experience than some of the players that we've got in the team as of right now, have played in very high level football and professional football, and so it's very much a team about wanting to grow each other and build with each other and make each other the best that anyone can be. And I think that's just, again, a huge testament to the Wickham mentality and the direction they've built to go this season.
And have you noticed as well during the social media how much the interest continues to grow as well?
Yeah, we've noticed a huge amount of interest growing this season. I think a lot of it helps from the likes of Imani Kassim and Jess Watkins, who have such a huge social media following. They do gain a lot of traction from other people and expand the audience, and you get people following that weren't following before and interacting that weren't interacting before. And we've also seen a lot of interest from the men's team as well this season. A lot of them will ask how the women's team are doing when I see them at a men's game, and are also interested in it and want to get involved and follow along far more closely than they may have done other seasons.
I think that's really nice, isn't it? Especially when you see, you know, some of the men's first teams that are reposting some stuff or congratulating them on a good result.
Yeah, Berry Lavala is one of the main ones that comes to my mind. Him and Jack Grimm are very much involved in interacting with the women's team, but Berry Lavala, a few of our girls played in one of his BL Ballers, his academy games, so he's got a link with a few of our players anyway, and has carried on wanting to follow them and be involved and want to make sure they're getting the best out of it that they can and continuing to grow. So it's a great connection, and I feel like it feels far more unified between the men's team and the women's team.
That feels like a really exciting time to be following the team, and wish them all the best for the coming games. Great to chat to you.
Thank you for having me.
Real pleasure chatting to Darcy from the Wycombe Wanderers Foundation about Wycombe Wanderers women, and wish them all the best for their upcoming games, and keep an ear out for more Chair Girls featuring regularly on the show. Now, though, big news at the club this week, and on Sunday it was confirmed that former Sunderland assistant coach Mike Dodds has been appointed as the new head coach of Wycombe Wanderers. Got to speak to him this afternoon to find out what attracted him to Wycombe.
Obviously, they made contact with Sunderland, I don't know what the time frame was again now, probably 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. I can't remember the exact time frame. I was really open-minded to it. I wouldn't say that it was something that was a kind of definite yes on both sides when we had the original discussions. But I think what came very apparent during the kind of three or four kind of meetings and conversations we had, we were incredibly aligned. I was really impressed with the ownership group, I have to admit. I think that was definitely a factor in it in terms of their vision and their direction and the kind of infrastructure they want to put into the football club. And, you know, I've always said at some point in my career I'd want to be a head coach. Did I think it would happen this quickly? Probably not, if I'm being brutally honest. And sometimes you get given an opportunity where you think it's too good to turn down. When I looked at the dressing room, when I spoke to people in football and said, tell me about this player, what's this character like, what's this person like, every kind of character reference I got was immaculate. And then you add into the fact that obviously, Sam Grace has done an incredible job, you know, kind of keeping the ship going in a certain direction, that you don't get the results that Wycombe have got without having a strong dressing room. And I think all those factors were a huge part in my decision.
And I guess it must be especially exciting, you know, the time of the season that we're in and the place that the team are in the table and the plans going ahead for the future as well. Great news this week that two of the first academy signings have been confirmed, and that's something that you've got experience in as well.
Definitely. I think and there are potentially in the pipeline some more exciting plans and news, which is none of my business, and you're not going to get anything out of me, so don't ask me those questions. But yeah, I think it's a really exciting time if you're a Wycombe fan in terms of the ownership group that are currently in place. They've got a really clear direction. It is very modern, it is very forward-thinking, which for some people might be a little bit alien, but one thing they do have is a direction, and not every football club has that. So yeah, it's really, really exciting times, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be at the start of the journey. I say start of the journey. I think they've owned the club, is it 9 months? So relatively new. I'm really excited to obviously continue all the fantastic work that Matt's done previously.
I was going to say, do you have a particular style of football that you're looking to bring and for the team to play, or is it just a case of sort of continuing what's happening at the moment?
I think it'd probably be the latter, if I'm completely honest. Obviously, I want to put Mike Dodds' personality on the team, but that isn't going to happen now, and it certainly isn't going to happen in 2, 3, 4, 5 games time, because we've got 16 games to go and the players are fairly clear and wedded to how they play at the moment. And I think it would be really poor coaching if I tried to change anything at this point. And I think it's the old narrative, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But obviously into pre-season, that then gives you an opportunity to lay some other foundations that represent your kind of values and beliefs. So in the short term, for the last 16 games, my role and responsibility is to try and direct the team, but stay on the current path that we're on.
And I guess it must have felt like such a whirlwind for you this week. The news was announced on Sunday, and you were obviously involved in the Sunderland game on the Monday and down here by the Tuesday.
Yeah, it's been non-stop, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, Sunderland were really keen for me to be involved on Monday, because obviously it was a massive game for them, obviously local derby, and you know, it was kind of not top of the table, but kind of top six clash. And I also have a really strong relationship with the ownership group there and the fans and the players, and I didn't want to leave them in the lurch. I think that was the professional thing to do. But I also had one eye on, I knew where my future was. So it was a difficult 24, 48 hours when you've got a foot in two camps. But I just want to say a massive thanks to Sunderland in terms of, I felt they managed the exit with complete class. And I have to say, I thought Wycombe's professionalism around it was incredible. I feel incredibly fortunate that the exit and entry of one job into another was really unique, and it was done with complete class on both sides.
It might be a bit early to say, but are you looking to put in place your own backroom staff, or just use the coaching team that's been in place recently?
In the short term, it would be the coaching team that's in place. They've done an incredible job. So there's not, like I keep saying, there's no need for kind of wholesale changes. I've had a really good conversation with Sam Vokes. I think Sam Vokes is really important in the short term for the dressing room. He's really important for me because he has different experiences to me. It's not lost on me that obviously I've got over 20 years worth of coaching experience, and that comes with different experiences. But also what I don't have is a playing background. So I would like someone around me that does have a playing background. I think that's really important for me to give me a different view and perspective. And I've had that conversation with Sam. So those conversations will continue. You know, Sam doesn't want to retire, which I completely get. But I think Sam Vokes will be really important to me. And more importantly, I think it'll be really important to the group. So they're conversations that will continue over the next kind of 2, 3, 4 weeks.
And does it really excite you, the blend of youth and experience in the squad, and also the depth of the squad as well, especially with the additions this month, or last month, I should say?
Yeah, I addressed the group this morning and I said, in the nicest possible way, make sure you cause me a headache. Like, turn up every day, train properly, and then cause me a problem. If you don't do that, you make my job easier, and I don't want this job to be easy. I want this job to stretch and challenge me, and the players have a level of responsibility with that. But one thing I will say, one of the things that did attract me to the job was just how impressive the senior group are. And I've got to be really respectful to how they kind of manage the training ground, and they manage everything that goes on here. And I'm really looking forward to working with that kind of 5 or 6. They've been a real welcome. And I think they're going to be a huge, huge part of the short term. They're going to be massive for us in terms of the next kind of 16 games.
And fantastic that you noticed in your opening interview with Phil that, you know, that there's such a family atmosphere to the club, and that's something you've experienced already.
Yeah. Like I said, the kind of entry into the football club, I couldn't have wished for anything more, if I'm being completely honest. The staff, the players, the people down at the stadium, you know, I feel, as I said, it's my first official day today. Obviously, I was in the training ground on Tuesday. Like I said, I didn't want to make it about me, but the guys around me here kind of brought the cameras and things, so it felt a little bit about me. But today was my kind of first official day in terms of being on the grass and all those types of things. So, like I said, I couldn't have wished for a greater start to a job, and hopefully I can repay everyone with the next couple of games in terms of performances.
And I guess obviously you're especially looking forward to the cup game on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a really tough game. Obviously, team that's a league above, got a very, very good coach, very good manager. I don't know if they're coach or manager nowadays. I keep saying coach, but I don't know whether Paul Heckingbottom is a coach or a manager. It's going to be a really tough game, but the biggest thing from my point of view is being at the side of the pitch and feeling the group. You know, I can watch as many games on a monitor, but I've got to be able to stand at the side of the pitch and get to know this group very, very quickly. And the best way to do that is games. So Saturday's going to be really, really important for me. Obviously, we'll be going to win and progress through to the next round. So it's not about me. It's about the group progressing and the club progressing. But from a selfish perspective, I just want to be at the side of the pitch. And I want to feel the group, and I want to see which things I can try and help them with.
And have you thought about your touchline attire? Will you be a tracksuit head coach or a suit-wearing head coach?
I'll tell you what, like, the amount of people that have asked me that, and it was never, ever, it never came into my head. And now it's like a big deal in my head. I'm thinking, if I wear a tracksuit, are people going to judge me? If I wear chinos and a smart pair of trainers, are they going to judge me? I'm a quite simple guy, so I think I'm probably going to go tracksuit. But now and again, I might mix it up to keep people on their toes.
Well, it's been brilliant to speak to you. Really appreciate your time, and all the best for the upcoming games.
Cheers, thank you. Lovely to speak to you.
Great chat to Mike Dodds, who's the new Wycombe Wanderers head coach. And it'll be interesting to see what his touchline attire will be. Perhaps he'll have those, is it black shoes or trainers that have got the white rim? A lot of football managers and ex-players and pundits seem to have those. Keep a keen eye out for what he's wearing. Wish him and the team all the best, especially at Preston on Saturday for the fourth round of the FA Cup, looking to get into the fifth round for only the second time in the club's history. If you're not going, you'll hear the whole match live here on Wycombe Sound and on Wanderers TV, of course. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock. Join us at the same time next week.